This week's parsha, of course, is Parsha Shemini. And in Shemini, there's, of course, Hakamas HaMishkan. The Mishkan is established. It's the eighth day of the Miluim. For 7 days, Moshe Rabbeinu was acting as the Kohen. He was doing all of the service in the Mishkan. And the eighth day, Aaron and Uvanov were elevated. And of course, unfortunately, on this day of tremendous simcha, this day of incredible joy that the Medrash compares to the joy of creation of heaven and earth, because the whole purpose of creation is to make a makom for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to dwell in the lower world. So this was it. This was the fulfillment, ultimately, of the purpose of heaven and earth, to make a makom for the Ribbono Shel Olam here in this world. And tragedy, unfortunately, strikes Aaron Uvanov and all of the Jewish people, that two of Aaron's sons are killed from an Esh of Hashem, and the fire of God comes out and consumes Nadav v'Avihu. Elazar and Isamar are Nosarim, those are the remaining sons of Aaron HaKohen. And unfortunately, Moshe Rabbeinu loses his cool with Elazar and Isamar. We know we're not going to get into the whole sugya, we're not going to get into the whole machlokes, but we know that Moshe Rabbeinu has an argument with Aaron about one of the karbanos that were brought, whether it was to be eaten by Aaron and Elazar and Isamar, or whether it was supposed to be burnt. Aaron and Elazar and Isamar burnt the karban, the Sayer Lachatos of Rosh Chodesh, the only one of the goat karbanos that were going to be offered up for all generations. They said that it should be burned, because normally a Kohen who's an Onen, who loses a close relative, is not allowed to eat from the karban. Even a Kohen Gadol, who's allowed to serve when he is in the status of an Onen, is not allowed to eat from the karban. Therefore, Aaron HaKohen realized that this one is a carbon ledoros, is a carbon for all time, so it should be burnt. Moshe got upset. And the Pasuk tells us, it's Perek Yud, Pasuk Tes Zayin, Ves Sir HaChatos, the sin offering from Rosh Chodesh, Darash Moshe, sought out what happened to it. And by the way, there's a lot to say, because those words, Darosh Darash, that's the middle of the Torah in the words. We've spoken about that in other shiurim, and there's definitely what to talk about, something to discuss at your Shabbos table, why the midpoint of the Torah in words is between Darosh and Darash. Again, homework for Shabbos. Moshe Rabbeinu sought out what happened to that. Vihine Sarof, it was burned. Vayiktof El Elazar V'Ali Samar B'nei Aaron Hanosarim Lemar. And Moshe Rabbeinu gets angry at Elazar and Isamar, the B'nai Aaron, who were Hanosarim remaining, Lemar, saying also that there's a lot to talk about there. But Moshe Rabbeinu gets angry. And the Medrash Vayikra Rabba, there's a Sefri also that points out that Moshe Rabbeinu gets angry. And because he gets angry at what they did, he realized that he makes a mistake in halacha. Moshe Rabbeinu, the greatest prophet who ever was, the one that the Ribbono Shel Olam says, B'chol Beisi Ne'eman Hu, in my whole house, he is the most faithful. Moshe Rabbeinu makes a mistake. He makes a mistake because he gets angry. And many Mefarshim point to this Nakuda, this episode in the Torah, for a variety of reasons. First of all, we like to quote from the former Rosh Yeshiva of Ner Yisrael, Yaakov Weinberg, Zecher Tzadik Kadosh Levracha, who pointed out that, if human beings had written the Torah, if anyone would think human beings written the Torah, they were probably anti-Semites, because there's no other religion that we talk so openly about the mistakes and the faults of our greatest people. Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest prophet who ever was, who ever will be. Moshe Rabbeinu was the most humble of all people. B'chol Beisi Ne'eman Hu, and yet the Torah tells us Moshe Rabbeinu got angry. And because of that, he made a mistake. And he paskened incorrectly against his brother. He was upset with his brother, and he got angry, and because of that, he didn't realize that Aaron HaKohen was in fact correct in what he did. But many Mefarshim say, from here we learn an incredible, incredible Musar. And this is something we spoke about in the past, but we have to speak about again, especially during this Tekufa, because we know during Sfiras HaOmer, we're supposed to be elevating ourselves from the level of a behema to an adam. The carbon omer was brought from barley, which is machal behema, which is animal food. The carbon lechem, the shtei lechem on Shavuos, is brought from chitin, from wheat, which is food for human beings, and everyone discusses that it's during this tkufa, these 49 days, that we're supposed to be elevating ourselves from a behema, from an animal, to a human being. And what's the difference between a behema and a human being? Moser ha'adam min ha'behema oyin. Based upon the pasuk in Koheles, Moser ha'adam min ha'behema oyin. The difference is that a human being has the ability to say no. A human being has the ability to pull back, not to act instinctually. Animals follow their instincts. Human beings do not have to follow their instincts. And one of the areas where this is one of the greatest challenges that we have is, of course, the challenge of kas. It's the challenge of anger. And the Torah is making a point that even a Moshe Rabbeinu, when he gets angry, what happens to Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe Rabbeinu makes a mistake. And I wanted to share just some Torah tonight about kas, because this is something that I struggle with, I've struggled with, and I think it's not an embarrassing thing to say that I'm sure we all struggle with it with a little bit. Rabbi Nachman Mibreslov was very open with his struggle for years of being a kasan, of being a very intolerant person, being a very angry person. And he said ultimately it was the healing air of Eretz Yisrael. When he breathed Avira de Eretz Yisrael, it helped him work on that midah that he's been working on for so long. I guess he wasn't there during the fifth election, whatever. No, I'm joking. That was a joke. But we know that many tzaddikim point out that this is something that as much as we work on it, we have to constantly work on it. Right? Reb Shaul Alter, Shlita, the Ger Rosh Kolel, he has a little group of Gerers himself in Eretz Yisrael. Reb Shaul Alter, a cousin of the Rebbe, he points out later in the Parsha, when the Torah talks about the snapir v'kaskeses, the Torah talks about the two simane kashrus of a fish. So there's the kaskeses, there's the scales and the snapir, there are the fins. But the Gemara Nida tells us that any fish that has a kaskeses, that has scales, automatically has fins. Anything that has fins doesn't necessarily have scales, right? There are fish that have fins, but they don't have scales and they're not kosher. We can't eat them. But any animal, any fish that has scales is going to be kosher because it also has fins. They have them automatically. So the Gemara asks, Rabbi Abbas, why does the Torah then have to tell us that there's a sign of kashrus for a fish that it has to have fins? If we know that there's no such thing as a fish that has scales without fins, so any fish that has scales is a kosher fish. Because you know, it has to have fins. And in fact, the Gemara talks about, there was a fish that they found with scales, didn't have fins. They said, no, it's kosher. When you take that fish out of water, the fins fall off. There was such a type of fish. But so why does the Torah have to tell us? If it has scales, of course it has fins. So why does the Torah even have to tell us that fins is a siman of kashrus? So Rabbi Abbo says in the Gemara, Nida, Lahagdil Torah Ladira, right? For the greatness of Torah. What does that mean? Some say the Maariv Tzchias, others say that means that it's teaching us the greatness of Torah. The Torah is testifying, you will never find a fish that has scales without fins. And lo and behold, Jacques Cousteau, with all the great submarines that we have, we've never found a fish that has scales that doesn't have fins. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't Jacques Cousteau. He didn't go to the deepest depths of the oceans. But the Torah, HaKadosh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. And we know, Lahagdil Torah Adira, it's like something here in the Eshat Torah Discovery Seminar, right? To make the Torah great in people's eyes. Wow. Reb Shaul Alter says no. He says there's a different pshat. And you know what the pshat is? As a Jew, there are two signs of kosher. One is the scales. That's like the armor. We have to protect ourselves from spiritual harm. And whatever spiritual achievements that we reach, we have to hold on to them. We have to protect them. But at the same time, a Jew is not only about the kaskeses. A Jew is not only about the armor. A Jew always has to have the fins as well. And what does the fin do for a fish? The fins is what helps the fish glide up and go down. That's the purpose of the fins. So Zokt Reb Shaul Alter, Lahagdir Torah Ladira, means that we are constantly b'nei aliyah. We have to know that it's not enough to stay satiated, to be satisfied at the spiritual level that we're on, but we have to always be looking la'aliyah. We always have to be looking to grow la'elo la'elo, level to level, further and further. It's not only, Rachman al-Salam, after a person leaves this world, that on the earth side we say the neshama should have an aliyah. We should have an aliyah right now. We should have an aliyah where we are, going higher and higher. So that's why, although we've spoken about kas in the past, and we've spoken about Tikkun Amidus last year, especially during Sfiras HaOmer, we worked intensely on Tikkun Amidus on a bunch of shiurim. But I thought this week we wanted to talk about Kas. We know Reb Chaim Vital was Meyid from his Rebbe, the Ari HaKadosh, and I want to quote the Lashon that Reb Chaim Vital has. He says, "B'inyan HaKas, Hayamori, my Rebbe, the Arizal, Makbid Ma'od Yoser Mishar Averis." The Arizal was most makbid on not getting angry, on losing his cool. And he said, "Kishar Averis Eina Machlifim HaNeshama Kimo Kas." He says, when you get angry, it affects your neshama, and in fact, it like changes up your neshama. Ha'inyan hu, and the idea is, ki kasher yichas ha'odam, mistalik mimenu ha'neshama asher bo, v'hichnis bo nefesh mitzad achitzonim. When you get angry, your neshama leaves, and you have a neshama, you have a klipa of tumma that comes and fills you. And he says, this is why he was incredibly makbid on this, the Arizal. And the Reb Chaim Vital says, the Pasuk in Iov, Toref Nafsho Ba'apo, person rips up his soul in his anger. He's saying, Al Pi Kabbalah, it's ki'ilu like this really happens to a certain degree. It happens to a certain degree that when a person gets angry, the Ari HaKadosh taught Reb Chaim Vital that there's a nefesh of chitzonim, there's a nefesh of tuma that encapsulates the person. And this is why the Ari HaKadosh was, Reb Chaim Vital testifies about his Rebbe, that he was makbid on not getting angry more than any other iser. More than any other Avera, he was makbid not to get angry. And we know we don't have to go to Bali Kabbalah. The Gemara, in numerous places, talks about the danger of anger. And in fact, it's a Gemara that Lomdei Daf Hayomi learned not so long ago in Meseches Psachim, in Psachim Kuf Yud Gimel Amid Beis, Shaharaschonim Chayeim Einim Chayim. The people that get angry, their life is not a life. What does that mean, people get angry, their life is not a life? We know why. We know why people get angry, their life is not a life. Because they're never happy. Not in this world, and not in the next world. And that's another Gemara that says, Gemara in Brachos, Lo Tirtzach V'lo Tzachte, that sin comes about because we get angry. When a person is biroges, when a person, everything ticks the person off, every person ticks the person off, so your life's not a life here in this world, and your life is not a life in the next world either. Rachmana Litzlan, the Gemara in Brachos, quotes that Eliyahu HaNavi told Rav Yehuda, Lo sirsach velo sechti. He asked Eliyahu HaNavi, teach me something to live by. And what did Eliyahu HaNavi teach Rav Yehuda? Don't get angry and you won't sin. The greatest shmira against kas, the greatest shmira against not sinning, is not to lose your cool. Because when a person loses a cool, again, as we see from Moshe Rabbeinu, the greatest prophet, the Anav Mikol Adam, even he can get angry, right? And there's a lesson here that Moshe Rabbeinu got angry, and what happened? He lost, Rachmana Litzlan, he lost the psak, he made a mistake in halacha. And so this is something that we have to take very, very seriously, but how does it happen? Now there's a famous ma'isa, maybe I told it before, I don't remember, that Reb Itzel Avorker was one of the sweetest of the sweet. Reb Itzel Avorker was one of the sweetest tzaddikim. He was a very close friend of the Kotzker. As Shlomo Kalbach, Zuchusi again, Elena liked to say, the Kotzker was an express train. He didn't stop for anyone. Reb Itzel Avorker was a local. He stopped for everyone along the way. And he loved everyone. And there was a period of time that his Rebbe, the Chose of Lublin, the Holy Seer of Lublin, sent him to be a Melamed. To be a Melamed in a town, in a small, small village, when there was barely a minion. Mamish, 10 men made the minion, that was it. And he was a Melamed there for 6 months. And the Chose of Lublin sent him there and said, when you're done, come back. 6 months, you come back. He comes back to the Chose of Lublin. And the Chose of Lublin says, no, tell me, what did you learn when you were there? He said, what did I learn? I really didn't learn much. He goes, you didn't hear any varta? You didn't hear any ideas? And Reb Itzel Avorker is thinking, what does the Chose want? The Chose could see everything. The Chose knew there was some deep teaching I was going to get there. And then he realized, one day, one of the 10 guys didn't come to Minyan. There were 10 men for Minyan. One day he didn't come to Minyan. Why? Because he was angry at someone else in the shul. Right? Can't imagine someone gets angry at someone else in a shul, right? It doesn't happen, right? Well, it happens, unfortunately. Rachmana Litzlan, anger, this poison can come anywhere. And so, one Jew got angry at another, and he doesn't come to Minyan. He didn't come to Minyan. So there's no Minyan. There were only 10 men. There's a little town. There's no Minyan. So someone said, okay, I got to go get him to come to Minyan. and he comes to him, and the guy says, no, you know what this guy did to me? I'm not coming to Minyan, I'm not coming to Shul, I don't care that you don't have a Minyan without me, I'm not going to come. So what did the guy tell him? He told him the pasuk of Binyamin, Yaakov's bracha to Yisachar. Yisachar chamar garim, right? Yisachar is the donkey. He takes a heavy load. And what's the pasuk? What does Yaakov tell Yisachar? Vayar menucha kitov, vayet shichmo lispol. He saw menucha, that rest was good, vayet shichmo lispol. And he put his shoulder down to carry this burden, to suffer under this burden. So the guy who was trying to convince the other fellow to come back to Shul says, what does it mean? He saw that rest is good, so then he worked very hard? I don't get it. What's Yaakov blessing Yisachar with? So he told him that what's pshat? That if a person understands that menucha is the best thing in the world, menucha sanefesh, to be calm, not to get angry, not to get fahitzed, and not to get beroiges at other people. You know what? If vayar menucha kitov, if you see that menucha is really the best thing, it's the healthiest thing. We know doctors tell us it's the healthiest thing. Then you know what? Vayet shichmo lispol. Then you got to put your shoulder down and you got to work hard to reach a level of menucha. It's not easy. Vayar menucha. If you want menucha, you have to work for menucha. And he told this guy, yeah, I understand this other guy ticked you off. I get it. He ticked you off. But because of that, first of all, we don't have a minion. You're not going to daven with a minion. But most of all, vayar menucha kitov. You're so angry. You're so upset. It's not good for your blood pressure. It's not good for your family. So what we have to recognize is, vayar menucha kitov, we know it's not good to get all fahitz, to get all angry. We see that menucha sanefesh, that's what tov is. And again, the Ari HaKadosh is telling us that you get a different neshama. Eliyahu HaNavi tells Rav Yehuda, lo tirsach velo sechti. Don't get roseach, don't get heated up, and you won't sin, right? So you have Eliyahu HaNavi. You have the Arizal. Again, there's other Zohar that talks about the dangers of getting angry, right? The Zohar HaKadosh talks about it as well. So, vayar menucha, we know it's good. So, vayet shichmo lispol. You got to be willing to work for it. You have to work for menucha. You have to train ourselves. Rabbi Nachman said he struggled for a long time. And he felt it was only with the siyata d'shmaya that he was zochah to in Eretz Yisrael. Because he was able to breathe the air of Eretz Yisrael, that gave him the ability to be kovesh, this incredible yetzer for kas. But how do we do it? How do you do it? So we know there's an etzah that the Ramban gives. The Ramban writes in his famous Higeres HaRamban, right? The Ramban has a famous letter when the Ramban won the disputation against Pablo Cristiani, and by winning he had to leave Spain because his life was in danger, even though the king gave him some gold as a prize for winning the dispute defending Judaism against Christianity. But ultimately he has to run to Eretz Yisrael, but he wrote his children a letter. He said that this is a letter you should read. Read it at least once a week. Better to read it every day. Shema b'ni musar avicha v'al titos tarasi mecha. Because Ramban wasn't going to see his children. He had to go. I mean, he went into Golis. He left Spain to go to Eretz Yisrael. But the Jewish life in Eretz Yisrael was like pathetic at the time. The Ramban wrote letters to his family about how sad it was finding Yerushalayim. Didn't have minyanim. He said it was crazy. But we know, what does the Ramban write in his famous Igeris? The Ramban writes, Tisnaig tamid ledaber kol dvarecha benachas, l'chol adam uv'chol eis uv'zeh tinatzel minakas, she'mida ra lachti b'nei adam. What does the Ramban write? You make yourself accustomed to speak calmly to everyone, no matter what the situation is. Ubizeh, and through this you'll be saved from anger, which is mida ra lachti b'nei adam, which is mida ra. It's the worst mida. It's a very bad mida that causes people to sin. Meaning the Ramban, again, it's not chiddush of the Ramban. Eliyahu HaNavi taught Rav Yehuda that in the Gemara in Brachos. It's the Gemara in Psachim that people get angry. Their life isn't a life, and it's going to cause you, of course, rachmana litzlan, to sin. So the Ramban says that we have to try and train ourselves to speak calmly. But that's very hard. The Sefer HaChassidim has a different Eitzah that might actually be easier. The Sefer HaChassidim has a better Eitzah. And what's that better Eitzah? The better Eitzah of the Sefer HaChassidim, he preceded Abraham Lincoln. They say, B'shem Abraham Lincoln and others, what to do to control your anger. He was supposedly a mumcha at Abe Lincoln. But the Sefer HaChassidim says, you know what Sefer HaChassidim says? to talk calmly, that's very hard. You know what's better? Just shut your mouth, right? When a person feels the anger building up, the best thing, just try and seal it. Don't say anything. Don't say anything. And this is something that obviously, this is easier said than done. I understand this is a tremendous, tremendous nisayon. But you know what? At the end of the story, remember I told you that Reb Itzel Avorker, he remembered this vart when he told the Chozim Milublin, wait, there's one teaching I remember. Vayar menucha kito vayet shechmo lispol. This is what one guy told the other to get him to come to shul. The Chozim Milublin said that's what you went there for 6 months. To learn that one teaching. The Chozim Milublin was so happy with this teaching. He knew that the Reb Itzel Avorker was going to receive a teaching there, and it was going to be great. When Reb Itzel Avorker became a Rebbe, he told his Chazidim that ever since I heard that teaching and I saw how important it was, and the Chozah taught me how important what that simple villager said to the other guy to get him to come, he said, my whole life I've been working on that one vart. On that one vart, Vayar Menucha Kito Vayet Shichma Lispol. And it should become a mantra for us. Vayar minucha kitov, right? Keep your eyes on the prize. The prize is the minucha sanefesh. It's the minucha in olam haba. How do we get there? We get there vayet shichma lispol, by working very, very hard. And of course we're going to slip. And that's why the Torah, I believe, this is why the Torah is teaching us that Moshe Rabbeinu slipped in this. The greatest prophet who ever was slipped. The most humble person of all time slipped. You don't think you're going to slip? You don't? I know I'm going to slip. Ask my wife. She knows I slip. My kids. Ask my kids, even better than my wife. They know that I slip up in this. Right? So what we have to do is we have to commit ourselves. And that's why we're chazering over this. I remember the Amshin of a Rebbe one time said that, you know, when I was asking him Shilas and Chinuch for Talmidim when I was a Rebbe in Eretz Yisrael, he said, you have to talk about the Midah over and over, the more you learn about it. And I know we've spoken about Kas before, but now I hope that we're really gonna commit ourselves to working on this Avodah, that we're going to work on Kas, and we're going to really try to give a big effort. And this is something that I believe brings tremendous bracha. And again, quote the Sefer Avodah Sapnim, many tzaddikim talk about this, that a person that can push away Kas from himself, from herself, from her home, from his home, you're going to bring tremendous brachos. You're going to bring tremendous, tremendous blessing to your life if you can push away anger. But then, I apologize, it's a late Marav, and I committed to help make the minyan tonight, so I have to end this a little early. But there's also another very important part. What happens right after Moshe Rabbeinu gets angry? You know what happens? You read in the Parsha a little further, and what is that? Moshe gets angry. He yells at Elazar and Isamar. And again, these are B'nai Aaron Hanosarim. We realize the trauma they'd all experienced. We understand why they're all a little bit on edge, right? We can understand this. I mean, and Aaron speaks back to his brother Moshe, and he argues with Moshe. Isn't this what God wants? Vayishma Moshe, vayitav b'enav. Moshe heard it, and it was good in his eyes. And Rashi says that Moshe admitted, I made a mistake. Taiti, I made a mistake. Rav Shimshon Pinkus has a whole piece here. Not about the dangers, of Kas. He has a piece in that where he talks about that elsewhere in the Tefer Shimshon. But he says, you know what also we have to learn from this? To be mode al ha'emes. To admit when we make a mistake. He says, the bigger a person is, the more publicized the mistake was, the harder it is to admit to it. The greatest person, arguably, who ever lived. Moshe Rabbeinu, one of the greatest people ever lived. Right? The greatest, as we've been saying the whole shir, right? In a very public demonstration, all of the Jewish people are looking. This is the first day Aaron and his sons are serving. Two of Aaron's sons get killed. Everyone is there. Everyone is like, and Moshe screams at his nephews. And Aaron comes, and Vaidaber, he says, Moshe, aren't we supposed to have done this? And Moshe's like, oh, you're right. Emotion in front of everyone says, Taiti, I made a mistake. And Rav Shimshon Pinkus says, we're not only supposed to learn that Moshe got angry, and he says it's important to see that yes, even Moshe Rabbeinu gets angry. We have to everyone has to work on this. There's no one in Tzadik Baritz Asher Yasatov Lo Yechta. There's no one that doesn't make mistakes. But the godless of Moshe is that he's able to admit to the mistake when he makes it. Birovam, everyone there. And that's something he says. Rav Pinkus has great mishalim. And he says, you know what that is? Not being able to say, to admit to your mistake. It's like having this amazing, amazing car that has no brakes. If you can't put a brake on something, Rahman al-Islam, you're going to crash. Right? That's where Pinkus writes. And he says, the brakes are being able to say, hold on one second, I'm wrong. Pull back. And that, of course, is related to the ability to prevent yourself from coming to chaos. But this is something, again, remember, we learned from the fish. It's not enough just to have the scales. We need the fins. We have to be going la'ela, la'ela. I don't care how old you are. I don't care what type of hothead you think you are. We have to learn from Moshe Rabbeinu that we make mistakes, but we have to admit to the mistakes, and we have to learn the danger of chaos. Listen to Eliyahu HaNavi, that if you don't sin, you don't get angry, you're not going to sin. Listen to the Arizal, that when we get angry, it's like a different neshama of chitzonim that grabs us. And the Baal HaTanya said, we'll end with the Baal HaTanya, the Alter Rebbe of Lubavitch, Reb Shneur Zalman of Liadi, Zechusigin Aleinu, he said that when a person gets angry, you know what you lose? You lose your emuna. It's just taken away. Because if a person gets angry, it means you're forgetting that Hashem runs the world. Hashem makes everything happen. Even someone else does something bad to you. You're right. They had b'chir chavshus. They're going to face a din in Shemayim. This is what the Alter Rebbe writes in the Geras HaKodesh. But he says at the same time, you had it coming to you. However, you had it coming to you. The Eibishter said, this is going to be something that you have to experience. So you have to be makabel. Okay, it's from the Eibishter, and I have to work on it. The Yenim, that person did it, that person's going to have their own din. But the Baal HaTanya writes that if a person is kasson, it means you forget your emuna when you get kasson. Chas v'shalom, to forget there's an Eibishter in the world. How can that be? That's also, some say, the Pshat and Eliyahu HaNavi told Rav Yehuda, you don't get angry, you're not going to sin. Because you're angry, you forget the Eibishter. The Baal HaTanya understood it. So, chever, please, let's be makabel upon ourselves to bring the carbon of machal adam, to elevate ourselves from a behemoth to an adam. Kimosar adam min a behema oyin. The elevation of the human being over the animal is we're not instinctual. We can close our mouth where we can speak menachas b'chol adam v'chol eis. And that's my bracha to all of you, that we should be zochet to work and have siyata d'shmaya, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will reward all our great work. Have a great Shabbos, everyone.